Hey everybody, it's Chris Spangle here. Just wanted to do a little bonus episode because right as we were finishing the last episode, which I give a C, it was a solid C. I saw Brian Nichols. Sorry, Brian. Actually, post in the group something. I don't know what is wrong with Arvind Vohra. Arvind Vohra is the vice chairman of the National Libertarian Party, and he's kind of everything that's wrong with the Libertarian Party. And I'm sure he's a very nice guy and a very well-meaning guy. You don't really get to the vice chairmanship of a national political party and then re-elected if you're not a decent person in terms of schmoozing and, you know, especially in the Libertarian Party where I think character counts. But Arvind is one of these guys who is in it for the purity and not the politics. And he constantly says things that are inflammatory, and I don't know if he's doing it to get a reaction out of people. I'm sure he believes it, but he and the chairman, Nick Sarwark, who is a friend who I do like and who I do think has been a decent chairman, sometimes just post stuff on Facebook without actually thinking. And, you know, we had this problem with Wayne Allyn Root. When Wayne Allyn Root was on the national committee, Wayne learned the hard lesson that you can't be a party official and a public commentator at the same time. Like, you can't be a news analyst and go out and talk about Republicans and Democrats and the pluses and minuses of other parties if you're serving on the national committee. It's really hard to do. And I serve on my state committee, and somehow over the last year I've gotten away with that. But I'm not a hugely active member. I'm just sort of institutional knowledge, and I show up for the meetings, but I don't think that they really want to publicize that I'm on the board. So I think they probably appreciate my recent posts of my recent mea culpas saying, I'm not going to be as offensive as I used to be. I made a lot of them very uncomfortable. Social media is a blessing and a curse for political parties, because when you're a political party, you are trying to persuade people over to your side. And, you know, if you're a Libertarian Party person, if you're a Libertarian Party candidate or an official, your bar is so much higher than a Republican or a Democrat. Like, it's crazy high. Because people are looking for any excuse not to support you. And Arvind and Nick just kind of keep doing things that keep you from supporting them. And it's disheartening, and it's off-putting, and it's going to cost them when the convention rolls around next May or July. And they're going to have a lot to answer for. And Arvind just posted this 2 hours ago. It's November 2nd at 10 o'clock, so around 8 o'clock tonight. Quote unquote, guys, we shouldn't speak badly of rapists. Many people rape and they vote. If we attack them, they might not vote libertarian. That's how some of you sound when you suggest we pander to public school quote unquote teachers and members of the military welfare complex in order not to lose their votes. Hashtag abolish government schools. Hashtag taxation is theft. Hashtag end the military welfare complex. Okay. So you're starting out with rape, which if you're a public official, talking about rape, especially in a way that is so flippant and you're using something that is so serious and traumatic for individuals, that's kind of a bad move. That's not smart messaging in any way, shape, or form. Because, Arvind, what you have to understand, I have people in my life that I love that have been raped and or molested. And rape is a horrible moment in time for a person who has been sexually assaulted where they have lost all control They've lost the security of themselves, and it changes their life forever in a very serious way. And I don't know if you're stupid or if you're just an unempathetic, uncaring asshole. Because those are the only two choices. When you take rape and you turn it into some sort of cheap political point, you make it a punchline, you're not showing to the women who are viewing your status that you care about them at all. Because I'm going to go out on a limb that half of women in this country have been molested, raped, or sexually assaulted, or had unwanted touching. 100% have been sexually harassed. Like, and especially with the conversation around Harvey Weinstein right now, it's a big deal. And it's something that a lot of people, like, I work at a comedy show, and there's a lot of stuff we're not talking about, not joking about, not playing, out of sensitivity to people. And it's not about censoring. It's not about eroding the First Amendment. It's about just appreciating that some people have been through some shitty stuff, and you shouldn't make a joke out of that. Or you shouldn't try and use their pain to, I guess, grow your political party. You know, your job as the national vice chairman is to grow our party, is to make people like what we do. And to start off with rape isn't exactly the way to start it out. That's not how I would start making a point, by saying, hey, half of the population and 25% of men, I don't give a fuck about your feelings. Then he goes on to bash public school teachers and military welfare complex, welfare queens. Now, we made this point recently, and we made this point a lot on the show lately, because I think it's important for libertarians to make this point. If you collect a government paycheck, you are stealing money from taxpayers on at a moral, granular level. That is true. Okay, you are taking money that was not produced in a private sector and was stolen from someone else. If you are in the military, you are participating in activities that kill innocent people. If you are participating in policies that are enacted that you may disagree with morally, but you also signed a contract and you have your word to stay there. People, when they're in college, get into social work or the military or school teaching or architecture, and they end up in the public sector. There's a lot of reasons that people end up working for a government paycheck. And it may not be until years down the road where they go, you know, I'm kind of having a moral crisis where I'm collecting this government paycheck, but I've become a hardcore libertarian, and I just don't know if I want to participate in the system anymore. I've kind of changed, and I need to transition out of this and do something different. You're never going to get to that point with somebody 3 years, 4 years down the train of libertarianism. If the first interaction they have with a libertarian is calling them a welfare queen, or saying that they're not real teachers, or that they are bad people because they steal. And I understand that libertarians who were apparently born libertarians just want to start out criticizing people who take government paycheck, calling them thieves. But you have to understand that you're kind of a dummy. You really don't understand how messaging works in any way, shape, or form, because people want to be heard. They want to feel respected. They want to have a dialogue with you. They want to work ideas out, and they will never do that with you if you start with the phrase rape and then go on to say we shouldn't pander to public school people. So it tells me that you really are just shitposting to try and get a reaction, and you're going to get a reaction. You're going to, but you're not going to make any libertarians with that. You are never going to have the conversation with teachers or military members and have a discussion with them in a way that allows them to think about what choices they're making. Because Lord knows I am constantly doing things that are dumb or wrong or hurtful. I'm a work in progress. And I constantly have conversations with people in my life about my choices. And I have my points of view, and I want them, you know, at the end of the day, somebody who serves in the military may never come to that point, and that's okay. You know, you may not agree with us on certain aspects of foreign policy, but you may agree like 90% of the time on everything else. And so you're going to tell that person that they're not welcome to vote for your candidates? You're going to tell people who are teachers, who are on the front lines of society and dealing with children and parents, you're not going to listen to the stories that they have to tell? You're just going to outright tell a large, powerful block of voters that are well organized that you don't want their vote because I'm not going to pander to you? It's not pandering. It's about having a conversation, you dummy. So, Arvind Vohra, you should resign. And I hope that Nick Sarwark distances himself from you and publicly states that Arvind Vohra is, his comments do not reflect libertarians and those of us in the Libertarian Party, because he doesn't. He doesn't believe what I believe. He doesn't believe that there are a lot of good people out there who are serving our public in many different ways. And yeah, we would eliminate their jobs in a libertarian society. But here's why. Let's have that conversation instead of just poking our fingers in their eyes. Like, unreal, man. And just to show you, I want to read some audience insights from the back end of our Facebook page. It's going to take a second to load here. Let's see. So we have this Facebook page of 87,000 people, and I was playing around in the business manager at one point, and you can go into audience insights, and you can set your Facebook audience, and it will give you a breakdown of the people connected to your page. I was like, cool, okay. So you go in here, and you connect your page, and it will then sort out the people who follow We Are Libertarians on Facebook, on our page. Now, we're 30% women and 70% men. Who's surprised by that? 30%, mostly 25 to 45. That is the majority of the people that follow We Are Libertarians. It is an audience of middle to upper income, white, upwardly mobile, middle class people who are millennials, who work jobs that have a lot of promise. You know, it is people who are trying to set up roots and build a family, white-collar workers. You know, that is the We Are Libertarians audience. We have a 50% higher likelihood of the entirety of Facebook of our audience went to grad school. 57% of you are married, okay? Then it goes down to job title. The veterans are our largest audience on Facebook. If you are a liker of the We Are Libertarians Facebook page, you are 140% more likely than your average Facebook user to be a veteran. Number two is legal services. Number three is government employees. Number five, IT and technical services. Then computation and mathematics, architecture and engineering, arts and entertainment, construction, life and physical sciences, installation and repair services, business and finance, cleaning and maintenance, military, transportation and moving. You know, so we have an audience that is here to hear what we have to say. My audience, the We Are Libertarians audience, which was a Gary Johnson for President page before it became the We Are Libertarians audience of about 50,000 people, 60,000 people. That's where the majority of those likes came from. Veterans and government employees and lawyers and IT people. So you don't know who you're representing. So, Arvind Vohra, you've lost sight of who you're actually talking to. You are no longer trying to win votes. You're no longer trying to make the Libertarian Party a better place. You're trying to make a Libertarian Party the Arvind Vohra place. You're trying to speak for what you want to hear, and you're not trying to speak for what libertarians have to say to the world. So, honestly, you should quit, because you're a disgrace to the entire Libertarian Party, and frankly, I just think you're tasteless. So, please, do us all a favor and resign.